If you have your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Please turn there with me. Very briefly, we'll start as an introduction here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Today we have two big points I want to try to cover. As we begin to prepare for the Lord's table and we partake of our pre-Thanksgiving potluck today, I just want to talk about this great subject of being thankful. And then we'll transition into some thoughts related to the Lord's Supper. Please bow your heads. Let's begin by praying. Let's pray. Dear God, we humble ourselves. We bow our heads as a posture of humility before your holy throne of grace this morning. And dear God, as we open up your word, we believe the word of God is living and active, and we believe it's divine. It's your perfect, unchanging word given to us to save and to sanctify, to teach us how to live this side of heaven, to praise you, to worship you, and to serve you. And as we listen now, dear God, I pray for your people that they would listen as an act of worship, and that you would just prove the power of your word by speaking through the weakness of your messenger. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I was thinking about a lot of things during the week, and if you're like me, we're all very similar, I believe, this morning. I was just thinking back, even to the time when I was small child, and do this with me, just enter in with me. And I was preparing, thinking through this week, and thinking about something I could share that would be pleasing to God, and something that would relate to the Lord's Supper, the season at hand, and this subject of Thanksgiving is a wonderful subject. And I was thinking about my life going all the way back to when I was a little kid, my earliest memories, and I was just thinking through all of the things that I have. And you're just like me, all of the things that we have to be thankful for. Do that with me just for a minute. Think in your mind with me about all of these wonderful things. And then look at your Bible with me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As I was preparing to preach, I was thinking through the thoughts of the pastor in the study during the week. I was thinking to myself, you know, this subject of Thanksgiving, as we tackle this together, we can be sure of one thing. We are in the will of God. Amen? Follow my thought here. It's the pastor's greatest fear that he would have something to say or prepare and miss, number one, the point of the passage, and all of those things we fear in the ministry, in preaching. We fear that with all of our heart, that we would waste your time, and that we would do something or say something that is displeasing to God. And I was thinking about how when we proclaim this text and this subject matter, how intensely and absolutely we are in agreement with God's will. Amen? What's the subject matter at hand? Look at your Bible one more time. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. And I want you just to underline the word everything there, please. And try to follow me here. In everything, give thanks. I was reading a story during the week And I don't know if you, if you read the, it was in the business section. It was in an interesting story, and it was a story about a young guy. He was in his 20s, single guy in his 20s, graduated from college, just kind of doing what guys do, looking for, you know, a career. You know, he just had a normal job, not a great job, but he had this uncle. He was very close to his uncle. But they were separated by distance. This guy lived on the East Coast. His uncle lived on the West Coast. We had a very close relationship with his uncle. He loved his uncle. His uncle loved him. His uncle didn't have any family. He was a single guy. Didn't have any wife or kids or anything. And so this was an unbelievable. And maybe you saw this story. It was in one of the business sections I was looking at. And the title of the story, and I always say this, when you're in the ministry, your ears and your eyes are always open for these illustrations. Amen? If you teachers, illustrations are just important parts of teaching. There is no good teaching without illustrations. And so this article, the headline of this article said, "Young man thanks uncle for indescribable gift." You can't make that up. And wait till we get to the second point of our message. I mean, I'm going to actually use that verse. You don't know where it is, but I'll take you there. And so to make long story short, this guy in his 20s, he has this uncle, and his uncle, he had this tragic heart attack, I believe it was, and he died very suddenly. And so like a couple days, I mean like this lawyer calls the kid, the nephew, and he says, "I'm sorry about your precious uncle, you know, Uncle John, whatever. But I do have some news for you that you're interested in. You don't know this, but Uncle John had a fortune. He was actually in the market. You didn't know this. He lived a modest life, but he was a trader, and he was a multi-millionaire. He's leaving you a $500 million fortune." Do you see that story? Unbelievable story. And then the rest of the story is about this kid just giving this amazing, eloquent, just sermon of thanksgiving for his uncle. He didn't know his uncle was this gazillionaire. Can I use the term gazillionaire? He didn't know. And then finally, you know, the whole thing, he said, "You know, I'm just so thankful for the indescribable gift, because now I'll be able to go on and pursue my desire, whatever, and not have to worry about money, blah, blah, blah." And the point of my illustration is very simple. I mean, this guy was genuinely, the nephew was genuinely thankful. The number was 500 million. I can't, how many zeros? I don't even know how many zeros that is. I don't even know what I would do with that. I would have just died. but he was so thankful for this fortune. And I think, I mean, we get that. Everyone in the room gets that. And you're thinking, "Oh, my uncle, you know, he didn't leave me anything." But if he did, I'd be really, really thankful. Amen? But look at your Bible one more time here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is so against our human nature. "In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Maybe this morning you're not thankful for a $500 million fortune your uncle left you. But what are you thankful for? Let's just start this morning from the lesser to the greater. And let's just talk about the subject. And I've prayed the Holy Spirit would move us toward this attitude of thanksgiving and this attitude of gratitude. What are the things that you're thankful for this morning? I was going all the way back. And let's just move together from the lesser to the greater, if you would allow me. And you can think with me. And maybe you can agree with me on some of these things. I was thinking back to the days of my youth and how thankful I am to this day for my parents and the house I grew up in. Amen. I was thankful as a young person just to have a sound mind and a sound body, never had a health problem. You thankful for those things this morning? To have a sound mind, a sound body, to have a... Most of us in this room have had a wonderful start in life where we had parents and education and food and clothing and shelter. Do you ever... Are you all like me? I've been spending a lot of time in prayer giving thanks to God for my food, clothing, and shelter. Do you ever do that? You know, you wake up every morning and you have a warm house and you have hot water and you have a closet full of clothes to put on. And you go to work and you don't have to think about what you're going to eat in the evening. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever study how the Christians lived in the days of the Reformation? Poor. Poor people. Didn't have anything in this world. We have so much to be thankful for. Just the simple things. Just the things that many people take for granted. I want you to be thankful this morning with me. Because when you're thankful, you're in the will of God. When you're a thankful Christian, you're in the will of God. Don't wait for a $500 million inheritance to be thankful. Be thankful today that you have a sound mind, that you have a sound body, that you have clothes on, that you have food to eat, that you have a job. Be thankful this morning in everything. Do you have some circumstances this morning that are difficult and distasteful? Things that are painful? Things that cause you to hurt inside? God has put those circumstances in your life today. He wants you to be thankful for those circumstances. He wants you to be thankful in everything. Not just the things we perceive as good or prosperous. He wants you to be a thankful Christian. Are you a thankful Christian today? We live in a thankless world, amen? We live in a thankless world. Do you ever get your hair cut and listen to the people talk? Thankless. The advertising industry is built on thankless people. As if a new car or a new pair of shoes or a new suit is going to make anyone happy. Yet, this is what drives people, the next new thing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you a thankful Christian this morning? We live in a thankless world. We live in a thankless world, and it's so easy to be influenced by those around us. Always thinking that there's something waiting that will give us the happiness we're looking for. I was thinking about the greater element of thanksgiving this morning. Let's transition over to some of the spiritual thoughts. Look at, if you have your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians 9:15. And in my illustration about the young guy, the nephew who received the inheritance, he actually used the word indescribable gift. And I was shocked when I saw that. Because I was thinking about 2 Corinthians, and if you're familiar with, and you're probably not, because I've said it many times before, 2 Corinthians is the least read, studied, and quoted book in the New Testament. But it's a gloriously profound book. 2 Corinthians chapter 9:15 is actually the place where you see this phrase, and I'll just talk about this context. But first look at this phrase with me. And we're transitioning now from the lesser... food, clothing, shelter, sound mind, sound body, our parents, our families, all of these things. I mean, transportation. I had to go out this week, I had to go out in the, and it was rainy and windy that day, and I had to go out and You know, you turn the key and you get in a warm car. Are you ever thankful for your transportation? Do you ever read and study history? How Christians lived in the days of Calvin and Luther? You got on a stinky old horse to go somewhere. You got in a stinking buggy. And then the wheel would break and you'd be caught in the mud somewhere. Now, you just turn the key and you get in your car. And it's got heat and stereo and radio and, you know, heated seats. All that. I mean, we're thankful. I was praying during the week that we would enter into this first part of the message and say amen to these things. Be a thankful Christian. Start with the lesser, because if you're not thankful for the lesser, you're not going to be thankful for the greater. Let's move on to the greater. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:15. And let's transition into some thoughts on the Lord's Supper. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And there's emphasis added there in your English Bible, the exclamation point. And if you could read this in the Greek Bible, you would see the emphatic nature of the sentence structure. And your English Bible does well with the exclamation point. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This is a fascinating context. Go back in your Bible with me just a couple verses there. Start in verse 6 there. And you've probably never studied 2 Corinthians before, but this is an absolutely fascinating context. The context of 2 Corinthians 9 is actually about the Christian giving money to the work of the ministry. And Paul the Apostle compares the great gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater, to the gift of giving money to support the work of the ministry, the lesser. Look at that with me starting in verse 6. Now this I say, and again, this context is all about the Christian who gives to the work of the ministry. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, as it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. This is an absolutely profound parallel passage here related to this subject of thanksgiving. Paul the Apostle is saying, look, when you give as a Christian to support ministry, it has an influence on many, many different levels. God has promised to multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So there's a spiritual component to giving to the work of ministry. And then there's also a tangible lesser blessing. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is proclaiming thanksgiving to God. In other words, the people that were giving to the ministry, those who were receiving that gift were thankful. So it had this great ripple effect. This is a tremendous context. Look at verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Tremendous. Look at verse 13. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Do you realize when you give to support ministry, you have a tremendous effect on other people? You have a tremendous effect on other people? And then Paul closes this with an extraordinary example of moving from the lesser to the greater. The greater is verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Just a fascinating conclusion to this digression. Beloved, the supreme reason to be thankful today has nothing to do with circumstances. It has nothing to do with getting a phone call about your inheritance. It has nothing to do with your status today in life. Blessings materially, physically. The Bible tells us ultimately to be thankful for the indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus going to the cross, shedding His blood, rising from the dead for our justification. And on Communion Sunday, this is what we're doing. We're remembering the indescribable gift. The indescribable gift. And so often, the indescribable gift in our minds is confined to the illustration where we received the $500 million inheritance. And the guy actually used that word, indescribable gift. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone use the term in the church, I'm thankful to God for the indescribable gift of my salvation. That's a glorious, glorious, glorious way to put it. Have you thought about the indescribable gift of your forgiveness of sins? Boy, if you have, you'll be thankful this morning. The indescribable gift of salvation given to unworthy sinners by grace through faith alone in Christ alone produces a heart of thanksgiving. One more thought. Look at, before we partake together, look at, go back just a couple pages here to 2 Corinthians 5. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 5. Begin in verse 18. You actually have to begin in verse 17 there. Just a glorious context here. There's a great comparison and contrast between the temporal and the eternal. What awaits the believer in resurrection? And then Paul transitions, starting in verse 11 there, to the ministry that we've been given as believers. But because of time, we don't have time to unfold all of this. But look, just begin in verse 17 there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. This is what we're remembering, beloved, on Communion Sunday. That God has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And in turn, He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I had the privilege of talking about this two Thursday nights ago as we've been marching through Philippians in the context of the gospel, what it means to be a Christian and sharing the gospel. God has given us, look at verse 18, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And this is the point. That's just the context. I want us to look at verse 21 as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. What is the ministry of reconciliation? What is, if you ever have an opportunity to, quote unquote, people use the word witness a lot. What are you to give testimony to? What are you to say? What is the gospel? It is verse 21. This is what we remember on Communion Sunday. God made Jesus. He, capital He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. Literally, I like how the Greek lays itself out here. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. I love that's the literal rendering. I don't know if you have that in your English Bible. Your English Bible takes a roundabout way. But I love that literal rendering. And this is how I often quote 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, God made Christ who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is what we remember, beloved, on Communion Sunday. This is the ministry of reconciliation. This is what you have to try to convey when you have opportunity to proclaim the gospel to people. This is what we have to teach the young people. The gospel, in a nutshell, is imputation / substitution. And to leave that out is to miss the gospel. In the context here, you have an answer to the question, how can a sinner be reconciled back to holy God? Here's the answer. The Bible explains the principle, imputation / substitution. God made the perfectly holy, righteous, pure, perfect Jesus to be sin for us. God treated Christ as if he were a sinner, though he was not. Jesus died as a substitute to pay the penalty for sin that we deserve. In other words, on the cross, Jesus was completely and utterly sinless, yet God punished. Jesus treated him as if he were guilty. In other words, he was treated as if he were guilty of all of the sins ever committed by all who would ever believe in him, though he committed none. The wrath of God was exhausted on him, and the just requirements of God's law were met for those who would believe in him. Tremendous. The just requirements of the law were met for those for whom he died, for those whom would believe in him. Jesus' perfect righteousness becomes the believer's perfect righteousness. This is what we want to think about today. This is the indescribable gift. And this should make your heart race more than getting a call that you receive an inheritance. This is the indescribable gift. The true Christian is thankful that God looks at them as righteous rather than a sinner. This is, beloved, the gospel. This is what we remember on the day we partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Dear God, help us, draw near to us. Holy Spirit, do your work in each heart. Pray for all of your precious ones here. I pray for your church and in this town and in the world. Dear God, that people would see the pure power of the gospel, the truth of Christ who knew no sin to be sin for the believer, so that God could forgive us, so that God could literally be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, so that we as sinners could become righteous. Dear God, let us remember that glorious act of substitution this morning, inherent in the atonement. Dear God, help us to think deep, profound thoughts related to justification, related to our right standing. God, move us from the superficial to the ineffable, to the depths of your plan from before the foundation of the world. Dear God, and I do pray that we would remember this and we would truly be like a man who receives a gift out of the blue, and that we would just offer back profuse, profound, passionate praise for the indescribable gift given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Man, would you please come forward, pass the bread, and when you receive the bread, please hold. I'll pray and then we'll eat together. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to the Lord's table together. We confess our sins to you, and we stand before your throne of grace, and we bring nothing but the sin that was necessary for our salvation. And we thank you, dear God, for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ coming to earth, fully God, fully man, born of a virgin, who kept the law, was completely holy, lived a perfect, sinless life, willingly set aside the prerogative, the use of his divine attributes. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, for sinners such as I. Help us, dear God, to come with a heart that is broken over our sin, and help us to see the glorious nature of substitution, imputation, justification inherent in the gospel. And we remember now that our death sentence for sin, our penalty for sin, we remember how it was paid for by the perfect, pure, holy Jesus. Help us to eat now, dear God, in a worthy manner, in a way that is pleasing to you. Let's eat together. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, please hold when you receive the cup, and we'll pray and eat, and drink together. May I just offer one application maybe today from what we were thinking about? And this might be helpful for a couple people. Some of us, and I don't mean us, like the 70 here or whoever many are here now. I mean, some Christians are forever and perpetually, daily, out of the will of God because of what we talked about today. You say, what do you mean? Lots and lots of people are not thankful for the current situation they have in life, their circumstances, whatever that means. And maybe there's one or two here today, and there's something that you're just struggling with so much, some situation. The oldest strategy of the enemy of God is to make people discontent with their current circumstances. It was the root of Satan's fall. He was not satisfied to be in his position, but wanted a greater position. And this is the root of sin, and some of you are struggling with this today. And you're out of the will of God because there's something in your life that you just can't let go of. You can't be thankful for this certain situation, and it's causing a disconnect and disfellowship between you and God and you and your fellow man. And God wants to speak to you today. He wants you to let that go. He wants you to ask Him to forgive you. He wants you to ask Him for forgiveness related to that subject today. And this is really what the Lord's Supper is about. It's the glorious truth that we can come, confess these sins, these struggles, and God has promised to forgive us. And as we do that, we have the sure and certain promise that He does indeed forgive us. Let's drink together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's just all rise together and let's sing the great doxology, and then I'll close us with prayer and give thanks for the food we're about to receive. Dear God, we're truly thankful today. Forgive us for being ungrateful. Forgive us for snarling and shaking our fists sometimes in our circumstances. We know all things have been ordained by you, even the things that cause us pain, even the sins that cause us to struggle. We know that you work these things for good to those who love you, to those who have been called according to your purpose. Dear God, I pray for your precious flock this morning, that they would have heard you speak to them, that we would be grateful, that we would be thankful, knowing that as we are thankful, we are in the will of God, we're pleasing to you. Dear God, we thank you for the food we're about to receive and the fellowship we have with you and with each other today. In Jesus' name, for his sake, for his glory, amen. God bless you.